Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, I bid you all good morning. We've got a great business show for you coming up this morning. Joining us later on in the hour will be Bruce Piasecki. He's the author of New World Companies, The Future of Capitalism, Learning from the Best Companies in Our Growing Global Economy. And something of equal importance, certainly, we will open up with the gentleman, David Dye. That's D-Y-E. He is former nonprofit executive, elected official, and president of Trailblaze, Inc. It's a leadership and training consulting firm. The book is co-written by Eric, top leadership consultant and CEO of Let's Grow Leaders. And the name of the book, Winning Well, A Manager's Guide to Getting Results Without Losing Your Soul. And the book is published in hardcover by Emma Cobb. So welcome to the show, David. It's indeed a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. A shared pleasure, Stu.
All right. You know, there seems to be a general, I don't want to say a general consensus, but the feeling with a lot of people and a lot of companies is you can really just take. And this is just really a basic model. And, you know, you'll expect something in return. Every relationship should be reciprocated. Just when you give, you get back. This in life every single day. It's still a real problem in industry, isn't it, where people, I hate to use the word consumed by greed because I'm a bunch of capital, but it is a problem, isn't it?
It surely is, and part of that problem comes from a short-term focus on winning. So when we talk about winning, we're talking about getting results. Your team, your business, your company, they're there for a reason. You're trying to achieve something, provide a service for your customer, a product for consumers. But if you only focus on winning in the short term, that's when the take starts. And the winning well ends up being a way to sustain those same results over and over again because of the positive relationships you're building with your people.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because you're an expert in this area, but I do remember, a decade ago or so, I think, where it was somehow the perception was that middle management didn't have any additional meaning. It's like the mainframe for IBM. It's not completely outmoded. We still use it. It seemed like middle management was being pushed into the background, and you had that kind of schism between top management and I say this with respect, quote, the lowly employees. That's not really true, is it? I mean, this is a top to bottom. This is a ground roots effort, isn't it? And that perception was correct or incorrect?
That's a great question, and I would say incorrect, because every leader needs to also manage well, unless you're a top-flight CEO and you can hire somebody to do that for you. So if we try to get rid of middle management, what that means is that you've got a lot more executives who need to be doing a lot more active management. Otherwise, they lose their leadership credibility.
You talk in the book about a number of things, and there are many, many, many books out on management and business. Of course, you think of the, you know, the gurus, Peter Drucker. I'm a little bit different here, and a friend of mine, Tom Peters. What are the distinguishing characteristics in your book that separate it from other books out there? What are we going to learn that we haven't learned from others?
Sure. You know, one of the questions that we're asked, and it goes back to your opening question, when people see the title, Winning Well, Getting Results Without Losing Your Soul in the Process, one of the questions that we're asked, and people are very sincere about it, David, is that even possible? And we've come so far sometimes in our desire, like you said, to get those results, to increase the bottom line and so forth, that we forget about the human spirit. And so what we find in Winning Well that we have not seen anywhere else since why we wrote the book are the practical how-tos of how you blend the bottom line with the human spirit. How do you focus on both results and relationships in a meaningful way that actually improve your bottom line over time? How do you lead from a place of both confidence that says, hey, we can have a better tomorrow than we do today, and humility, which recognizes not only you have strength, but other people have strength, and we're going to make the best decision when we invite challenges to our thinking. That's the core model, and there's not a lot out there like it, but in practice, we have found it through thousands and thousands of managers that we've worked with, as well as in our own careers, to be very effective.
And it has to be an air of sincerity in business. As you were talking, I was just thinking, growing up in my earlier years and hearing about different people going out into business and being impressed when I heard that somebody was given an increasing role in terms of title in a business. So, you know, just to make it simple here, promoted from either salesman or assistant manager to general manager, but no pay increase. It's a little different today in the sense that, you know, we look at healthcare, we look at treatment for women who have babies or expected babies. It truly has to be socially conscious. And the kinds of things that companies, I just put in parentheses, and people got away with years ago, in that sense, have we become more sophisticated?
I think so. And I think part of the reason for that is the information age. You know, there's a lot more transparency now. If you're up to no good, it's a lot easier for people to find out, as well as your employment practices. How are you treating the people in your business? And it's not just I shy away from using that language. How are you treating the people in your business? It's not just about touchy-feely, I got to be nice because I got to be nice. It's actually about investing in your workforce. So you've got people who are there long-term. You're hanging on to that institutional memory. You know, you're increasing your results and ultimately your profits over time. So, you know, it's I think there's that transparency, and if things aren't going well, workers can get online very quickly and see what's it like to work for your organization. And so that overall transparency, I think, has impacted what you're talking about.
But everything needs a foundation. It's almost like coming away with the statement that if you take an original hypothesis or premise that's put forth and then you have logical deduction from the invalid premise, either based on poor performance tools or just a statement that is inaccurate and untrue, everything that follows, in a sense, is bogus. It's fault-ridden because it comes from the original premise.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make sure that the foundation, the culture of the company, the objective, the overview is set up so you create, as you talk, a nurturing environment for the employees?
Well, I'll tell you, the foundation of everything for your leadership, your management, your ability to collaborate, your ability to build trust, any of those relationally healthy things you want to do stem from a very solid foundation in your management. And the very first thing that's vitally important for that, makes everything else easier, is mutually understood, shared expectations. And the question that Karen and I, when we work in our clients' businesses and they bring us in, the first question we're going to ask every single person we run into it, from every department, frontline up to the top executive, is what does success look like? What does success look like for this business? How does it make money? What service or product does it provide? What's the value to the customer? What does success look like? Then we'll ask that at a team or department level. What does success look like for this team, for this department? And the idea is that everybody in the organization should be answering that question for the organization the same way. Everybody on the same team should be answering it the same way. If you don't have that mutually shared commitment to the same set of expectations and to one another, everything else falls apart. So it's like you're saying, that faulty proposition at the beginning, nothing else can be built on an iffy foundation. So that's the foundation. Mutually understood, shared expectations. And without that, you can't get anywhere else.
You know, this is this is behavioral science. It's not physics. It's not math. It's not chemistry. What kind of research did you and Karen do in order to have a sense of validity to what you talk about in this book? Even though a lot of this falls into the area of subjectivity.
Sure. There's a couple. Some of our original research, and then there's a couple that we drew on. So one of the things that what we know about for sure is in the research around employee engagement. We know that the top drivers of energized, motivated employees are connection of work to meaning and purpose. Do people understand why they're doing what they're doing? A sense of growth. Are they able to expand their own capacity? Are they getting encouragement? And encouragement doesn't have to be, you know, big bells and whistles in a party. It can be a high five and a quiet, hey, you did really good on that, and here's the impact it had, right? And then a sense of control. Do people have some self-efficacy? Are they in control of some aspect of their life and their work? So there's a lot of research around that. The Gallup organization has done the research around both employee engagement and manager engagement. And this one is a little frightening. So you've probably heard 70% plus or minus of employees are not engaged in their work. They're just compliant, or they're actually actively undermining the work. The more frightening statistic to me is that two-thirds of American managers are not engaged in their work. And if they're not, how on earth can we expect employees to be? And one of the things that goes with that is that in our own surveys, as well as there are other organizations that have done similar work, 50 to 60% of managers are placed without ever getting training to lead their team.
All right, we're gonna take a break and come back. And when we do, I'm gonna pick up on something a little different on that 70%. And you'll know what I'm talking about, but let me use it as a tease, the 70-20-10 differentiation. And I'll leave that for people to think about when we come back. This is Stu Taylor, our guest, David Dye, Winning Well.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching BizTV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, BizTV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving. But my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
BizTalkRadio.com.
The Legal Exchange, Saturdays 1 to 2 p.m., a.m. 1120, WBNW.
Hello, this is Brian Tracy, and I've just done an interview with Stu Taylor, who is one of the smartest, most articulate, and insightful interviewers I've ever had the pleasure to talk to. It's just been wonderful being on his show, and I can't wait to be on his show again and again in the future.
All right, an excellent book here. By the way, Winning Well, A Manager's Guide to Getting Results Without Losing Your Soul by Karen Hurt and David Dye. David Dye joining us is getting tremendous reviews out there. So read the book, get educated, and you'll improve yourself in business. You always think whether you do this on the internet or buy your book for such a nominal fee or a small amount, the returns you could get are exponential. So here's the book. And talking about exponential, and you had mentioned a 70% number. As soon as you did, it just triggered a thought in my mind, David, about certainly one of my favorite interviews. A guest has been on the show several times, and it's the former CEO of General Electric, and that's Jack Welch. And when his book came out, Winning, and he talked about differentiation, and he talked about really in a very socially conscious way and all around, keeping people happy and motivated who were in that 70%. I believe then there was the 20% who needed some kind of nurturing to see what direction they were going in. And then a lot of people thought Jack was a little tough on the 10%. but he was doing it in the sense of telling them that, you know, honestly, the fit wasn't right. And we've all been in situations where it isn't. And it's good. You know, you should know the truth and steer them on. Do you have any comments to make about? I'm sure you're familiar with that differentiation proportion.
Absolutely. A couple thoughts. First, completely agree with Jack in terms of when you have that, whether it's 10% or 5% or just one person, it doesn't matter. When you have that person in your organization who's not the right fit, and you've done the nurturing and you've done the coaching, and it's clear to everybody that they're not in the right place, you don't do them any favors by letting them stay. In fact, you're preventing them from developing. It's a compassionate move, and this is something a lot of leaders struggle with, is they don't want to necessarily terminate or let somebody go. It feels like a negative thing. In reality, it's a positive thing, and we cover that in the second section of our book. How do you terminate somebody with dignity, both for yourself and for them, that it should be something that's in their best interest and in the best interest of your team, and that's your job as a leader. If we abdicate that responsibility, we're letting everybody down.
And you talk in the book, obviously about the importance of collaboration. And here's a topic that, that has always been close to me in the sense that I've been involved in sales, marketing, promotion my whole life. In fact, we all are. You know, we're all selling. It's like saying everything is about politics. Everything is about selling. I think of the difficulty of... First of all, you have to have a product or a service. If you don't have that, none of this holds. There's no sense in even going through the futility of the exercise of saying how you do it. So assume you have a product or a service. Sustainability, you know, we hear that in a different sense in business. Sustainability, scalability, et cetera. How do you go about having that effect that has continuity in it to keep people driven and motivated? You can't give away too much. You know, it's a fine balance.
You give away the farm, the expectations will be so great. And yet you have to be firm, and at the same time you have to balance it. How do you do that and sustain it?
Well, you know, I was asked by an audience a couple of weeks ago. I was speaking remotely with a group from Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabian business people. And at the end of the program, one of them asked me, David, I hear what you're saying about motivation. Are the carrot and stick dead? And what he was asking, you know, the carrot, the incentivized types of things, where, as you said, giving away things in some fashion to incentivize performance. And the stick is essentially punishment, right? Are the carrot and stick dead? And the answer is no. You can incentivize performance, and you can still punish people into performance. The problem with either of those is that all they get you is a person's least amount of effort. How much effort do they have to get the carrot, or how much effort do they have to give to avoid the stick? And that's all you get. But I've never met a business owner, a manager, a frontline leader. I've never met anyone who says, you know, if I could just get the least amount of effort out of my people, this place would be on fire, right? Everybody wants people's hearts and souls and minds engaged in the work. And so where does that come from? Well, one of the places we know that that starts is connection of work to meaning and purpose. Why are we asking the things that we're asking? Why are we doing the things that we're doing? And to have those conversations with employees, a five-minute conversation up front can save 6 months of foot dragging and resistance and so on when we're getting that input and helping create that understanding on the front end rather than trying to chase it down and explain it on the back end when we're running into problems.
Well, you know, you're so right, and I couldn't emphasize that enough for everyone out there. I think about, you know, the culture and the chaotic culture in so many organizations, anywhere from having a competitive advantage or not having it and not being able to define it, just the lack of basic fundamental knowledge by people in more senior positions. If you were brought in as a consultant for one of these companies and you have a myriad of problems, I mean, nothing could match our international foreign policy problems. That's unsolvable. But I'd like to think if you have, that product and service in a business, it is resolvable. So how do you come in, ground roots effort up, to take a culture that is tainted, a culture that is not pure, and turn it around?
You know, the first question that I'm going to ask an executive, excuse me, who's in that situation, is what is it that you really want? And we're going to have a real heart-to-heart conversation, because I guarantee that if you're a business owner, you're an executive, and you're running a company where the culture is, as you said, Stu, tainted in some fashion, that's having a personal impact on you. It's impacting your health. It's impacting the energy you have to spend. It's creating a real negative drag on you. But it starts with desire. As a consultant, as a coach, as somebody coming to help your business, I can't help you unless you want something different. And I have met executives who say, nope, I don't want to change. Yes, this is killing me. And we talk about them in the book. They go on and have heart attacks because of the stress and what they're doing to themselves, but they're not willing to make the change. So assuming they are, then the next thing we're going to start is with what is crafting a picture of what success looks like for that company, not just in terms of the product they deliver, the service they provide, and the profit they want to produce, but what does that culture look like? What do they want to craft? And then from there we can work backwards and start figuring out, okay, what are the steps? What are the things that are going to get there? And one of the things that I would help clarify for you is that culture is not about the perks. A lot of times we hear about workplace culture and we think about the free sodas or the vending machine or the, you know, beer Fridays or things like that. That's not culture. Those are perks. Those are things that might be a product of a particular company's culture, but the culture is in the values. It's how you treat each other. It's how you do business together. When there's conflict, how is it resolved in your team, in your company? What does it mean to work together, to work from confidence and humility, to focus on results and relationships? That's what culture really is. The perks, they're nice, but they don't create culture. They're a product of culture.
Yeah, and there are things you don't define as perks, or I don't define them as perks, but as necessities, and that's being properly covered with insurance, which is a whole subject on its own.
Absolutely.
But that has to be ingrained within the original basics or components given. I hate saying we're out of time, but we are out of time. David Dye, Winning Well, A Manager's Guide to Getting Results Without Losing Your Soul. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, thanks.
All right, we'll break and come back with Bruce Piasecki.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 800-726-1031 because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-726-1031. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-726-1031. That's 800-726-1031.
Safety, safety, safety. I'm saying it three times. Studies show you need to hear something three times to remember it. So remember, safety, safety, safety is important to me, me, me. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products to help keep our facilities safe and people safer. Say it with me, kid. Safety, safety, safety from Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Any Tom, Dick, or Harry can tell you that Geico could save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not go straight to the source?
Hey, Harry's Money here. And the day Harry went to Geico.com and switched his car insurance was the day I got to hang around. Finally, boys bonding, bada bing, bada boom. No wonder Geico has 97% customer satisfaction. Personally, I give him 100, but that's just my 2 cents. That was funny.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068, 800-957-6068, that's 800-957-6068.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
biztalkradio.com.
Live stories of the Legal Exchange, Sundays 2 to 3, AM 1120, WBNW.
Hi, this is Mark Victor Hansen, wrote Chicken Soup for This Whole Book Series for you. And I want to tell you, you're listening to my friend Stu Taylor, who is chicken soup for your business soul. He makes you feel good while you earn more money and less time and have fun doing it and learning from all the greatest of the greats that he interviews so well.
Okay, hope you're enjoying this morning's Focus on Business, and if you are, you'll love our next guest's book. And I notice I didn't say our next guest could because you don't know him, but the book is fantastic. Bruce Piasecki, he's got his master's and doctorate from Cornell University. He was a tenured professor at Clarkson and the business school at Rensselaer Polytech Institute. He's the president and founder of AHC Group. It's a management consulting firm, and his clients are Toyota, Walmart, Shell. Maybe I'll open here on Toyota, and lots of other companies. He's the author of 10 books on business policy, and he's got a great new book out. It's called New World Companies, The Future of Capitalism, Learning from the Best Companies in Our Growing Global Economy. And the book is published in paperback. Be sure to go out and get a copy of it as I kind of stall here. It's Square One Publishers. I got it. Hey, Bruce, welcome. Indeed a pleasure. Great to have you on.
Good to see you, Stu.
Yeah, good to see you, too. I'm holding up your book right here at the microphone. And you've written a really interesting book here on New World Companies. Before I get to the issues of Toyota and other companies, that have kind of screwed it up. What is the difference in terms of what generates success with New World companies as opposed to the old one, the old Fortune 500? They seem to be dropping like flies. In a simple, it doesn't have to be simple and succinct. We know technology is part of it, but I don't want to answer the question I've asked. I'll let you do it.
Yeah, I've been lucky in life in that I was born poor, but I now work for 41 global multinationals. So I decided to look at asset managers, Stu, and how they think after the 2007 financial meltdown. And I found that the reliable companies that are morphing and growing look at the world of risk through a new lens, which I am calling environmental, social, and governance lens. A lot of people talk about the buzzword ESG. But in my book, I went to the 83 asset managers, Stu, Goldman, BlackRock, State Street, TIA Cref, the great pension funds like TIA Cref, and I asked them tough questions on business trends and money matters and financial advice. And what's interesting, in a kind of quiet revolution, ESG metrics have been hard-baked into the mainstream to try and take off the dangerous edge of speculative capitalism, like you saw in the mortgage bubble.
Oh, God.
Crisis. Yeah.
I want to interject here for those people who don't know what ESG is. Environmental, social, and governance. Three metrics here, governing metrics in business. Let me jump to the three. Environmental, governance, and social. Now, this becomes almost political warfare. And I'm on, I may be on one side, but I'm concerned with overregulation. Where you talk about being socially conscious in a company and it's great, and all of a sudden we go through such environmental regulatory changes that it's more destructive than it is productive. That's what I believe. And governments as well for running a company. I'd like you to respond to that because there are two sides. Take the other side.
Sure. You know, having made my fortune protecting companies like Toyota in their innovations, like the hybrid powertrain, I may be looking at the world in a global market sense as opposed to a political sense, because I think the permanent face of every government is going to support the themes of New World companies, and that the triumphant presidents of the future can't build a wall against globalization. So ESG, environment, it does feel like regulation, but the type of E information that I talk about that's evaluated by Bloomberg Terminals or Morgan Stanley Capital Investments, those that I write about in this new book, those environmental metrics are anticipatory of things to come, like the Paris Climate Accord. Smart money is moving towards LED lighting, super efficient cars like the hybrid powertrain, more efficient homes around the world, because there's 7 billion souls, Stu, that need to get more mileage out of their car and their home and their utility dial. So I don't view environment in a political regulatory way. I view environment as a signal to the flow of money. So if you look at the Goldman Sachs study, which is free on the internet, called Low Carbon Economy, you see them celebrating four trends of revenue: LED lighting, and next week I have the CEO of a company that does LED lighting talking to my 66 multinationals, because it's the best way to save money, reduce carbon, and be competitive. So, you know, the Starbucks of the world have done it, the social progressives have done it. I'm bringing it to the Walmarts and the Starbucks and the so forth. So environment is a signal. So for the last 30 years, environment has been a very entertaining political beat up, let's beat the doll up. It's a feature of spooky world, right? And I'm not viewing environment in an entertaining or spooky way. I'm saying it's a fundamental indicator of what 7 billion people on Earth need protection of, right? It's the same with the word social. Now, you know, I wrote about Carly Fiona, who I know you interviewed, in a prior book, and I know what she did to HP, and I know what she's tried to do politically. What's interesting about social expectations is Carly was actually a good female executive in terms of diversity at HP. She got nailed by the founding stockholders of the firm and is no longer a CEO there. But social means all those issues of what the world looks like. It's not a white male world anymore. It's an international world. Now, I happen to grow up in an interracial family. My father died as a military man when I was three, and my mother took in kids from the Catholic family homes. I had two Puerto Rican brothers, a Chinese sister, Su Ying Cheng, and a Samoan sister. So I know prejudice firsthand. I know people thinking my mother slept around, et cetera. What I've concluded in international business, working for the Toyotas, working for the Walmarts, helping them come into Africa is what we did for Walmart for 7 years. It is a different world of social expectations. It's not represented by American politics right now. The social diversity of this world, it wants a different, cleaner type of energy. It wants a different kind of car. It wants a different kind of home, simply by the mathematics of the number of people on Earth. So E and S in my book, New World Companies, is trying to show an indicator of the future of capitalism, which is quite healthy and diverse and agile.
But Bruce, I think this is, and I'm trying to stay away from the political end of it. I really am.
Sure.
And I don't know.
It's hard, though, Stu. I understand.
It really is difficult. I think my brother, who wouldn't like it if I mentioned anything, but he said, "Gee, I'm going to buy a Tesla." I said, "You said you weren't interested in cars," and he said, "I am, but you know, all this electricity and it stops, and it'll preserve the environment. All the reasons why people go out and do it." However, you got to look at the other side. The other side is I would never buy. I mean, I might buy it as an investment if I could turn around and flip it. But why would I buy a car that we're not ready is what I'm saying. I'm going to start looking for electrical outlets so I can charge the car that may go, I don't know how many miles. I think there has been an overreaction to criticism in terms of environment and climate change. I don't believe in man-made climate change anywhere near the extent that it is. We've survived. We'll continue to survive. China, of course, is a great example of an extreme situation. Aren't we going too far? And isn't there a trade-off in terms of how we have to gradually move ahead in securing a better energy system with solar energy, electric power, et cetera, alternative energy? We're not there yet. And look at the millions and billions of dollars that are going down the toilet because it's being forced upon us.
The best way to respond is your listeners are listening to a guy whose company was just asked to find corporate speakers for both the Republican convention and the Democrat convention. So you can think of us as, if you look at ahcgroup.com, the eight large earners in my firm, what we call the senior associates, all ran $100 million functions in global corporations, BP, Kimberly-Clark, DuPont, Whirlpool, et cetera, Suncor Energy. What we look at in terms of the world is something that's going on, trends that shape the future of wealth that are deeper than the shimmerings of current politics, and deeper trends than this media-intensive focus on, say, people like Trump. Essentially, what we're dealing with is the Hall of Fame of business behavior.
All right, and I want you to that up when we come back from a break.
Sure.
We do have to take it. I hate even interrupting you to go to that, but that's the way this works. Rejoining us will be Bruce Piasecki, New World Companies, the Future of Capitalism, Learning from the Best Companies in Our Growing Global Economy. I don't think you're really going to want to miss buying this book. We'll be right back.
Hey, Dad, ready for golf?
Hi, son. I'm not sure I'm going to make it today. My arthritis is acting up this morning.
Dad, have you tried Blue Emu?
Have I tried what?
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Works fast, penetrates deep, relieves pain in your achy muscles and joints.
But I don't want to smell like a medicine chest.
You won't. Blue Emu's non-greasy and odor-free.
In that case, let's play 36 today.
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Beat the pain and enjoy life. Available at Walmart and Walgreens.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. We're moving offices and it's a giant pain in the...
Bubble roll?
What?
Well, Staples has bubble roll, packing tape, all kinds of boxes, everything you need to move and all at low prices.
Great. That's a giant load off my...
Packing peanuts?
No.
Shrink wrap?
No, but now moving will be a walk in the...
Packing tape?
Sure.
Get low prices on everything you need to move at Staples. And right now, a 3-pack of Smooth Move medium boxes is $12. Staples, make more happen. Offer ends 6/25/16.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving. But my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
BizTalkRadio.com. You're locked into Money Matters Radio, 1120 AM WBNW.
This is Pat Buchanan. I just finished a 20-minute interview with my old friend Stu Taylor, who's one of the best in the business and a conservative and traditionalist of the first rank. You folks ought to listen to him.
You know the old saying, having fun and the time goes by so fast. I'm experiencing that this morning with our two guests and currently with Bruce Piasecki, the author of New World Companies, The Future of Capitalism, Learning from the Best Companies in Our Growing Global Economy. I want to pick up where you were at the end, if you can recall. You started to talk about corruption, and then I want to address the issue of corruption in a different sense, but I don't want to take your time. So if you know where you were, please continue.
Sure. If you think about the issues that will make people wealthy in their stock and also in their family and in their circle of friends, I think we all can celebrate in a traditional way what enables innovation to exist. You know, the will and the talent and the skill is what made the world an interesting place. And so I think that what's corrupt, besides misbehavior, you know, that the laws exist to correct, but what's corrupt about the current political debates is we can't see past the existing laws and the rules to understand how globalized the world has become, to understand how much of your retirement and pension and your own stocks and your own behavior is dictated by these global entities. So I wrote New World Companies, The Future of Capitalism, try and define the principles of competition that will succeed in the next decade or two. So I tried to write a book that defines money matters, and I found really interestingly that speculative capitalism is not making as much money as this new form of capitalism I describe in the book. Let's just call it a new form. So, for example, in the book, I actually track and make references to entities like Toyota, Exxon, Suncor, FedEx, and I track, there's a chart out where back in 2007, if you put a dollar in the investment community, I track how it grows through normal speculative capitalism dynamics, about defeating rules, about questioning behavior, about some scandalous behavior. And then what we found is if you look at it across a 20-year time frame, those that look at environment, social, and governance lenses have made $10 for every $1 they've invested, while all the rest of the stock has made $3 for every $1 invested across a 20-year spectrum. To me, that's the hidden brilliant.
That is really quite a profound statement you just made.
Yes. Yes.
And it surprises me. But
well, you know, because when you're a speculative capitalist, you might get 18-25% return on some stock, but you may be losing everything on four or five other stocks. So the more stable way to look at the world, and this is what's so beautiful about capitalism, is to reduce the risk premium of your stocks, to increase the rapid cycle time of innovation, and to improve the margin of your profit. That's what my book is about. It's about the virtuous circle of these New World companies that are getting better at the game of capitalism. So I am a traditionalist. I believe that capitalism will solve more and more of the problems of the world. But I'm also detecting that we are sometimes miseducated at the Harvard Business School or at the Cornell Business School, where I've talked recently from this book, because they're teaching short-term speculative capitalism when the great inventors do not think that way. So I believe that you read my book, and what you kind of see is that there's a kind of cleansing, there's a kind of volcanic cleansing in this virtuous circle of New World companies. And to some degree, it doesn't really matter who's running Europe, who's running Asia, who's running America. What matters is these great innovators. So I want to get a little bit back, if you would let me, to Elon Musk.
Please do.
Yeah. I think that Elon Musk is at least this one of several 10,000 people that I've never really studied until this new book, because most of my work has been about changing Toyota or Walmart or Suncor. You know, if you look at the record of my prior books, I'm always somewhere within a corporate mansion, and our lawyers and our executives are working really slowly to find new intrinsic value within these firms. But there are about 10,000 people out there every generation like Elon Musk. Where is he born? He's born in South Africa. What does he want to do by the time he's 10? He wants to come to America. He knows nobody in America, so he tells his mother, who's a little dysfunctional, by the time I'm 18, I want to go visit Uncle blah, blah, blah in Montreal. So he gets on a plane, saves his money, goes to Montreal. His uncle's no longer there. This is the time before emails. So this guy, Musk, goes from Africa to Canada and then finds his way to California. It really is the American dream. And there are 10,000 of these Ben Franklins out there. So New World Companies tries to identify those Ben Franklins who can do more with less, who learn how to work in teams, who take bold things, and then rather than going totally crazy on speculation, they hedge an environmental, social, and governance lens. They find ways to differentiate products, to find new markets, and that's classical capitalism, but a less risky classical capitalism. So I tried to write a book that allows that new lens to be read by ordinary people, not just environmentalists or social advocates or governance experts. I tried to write a book that could be read by your family or your friends, you know, and that follows my bestseller, Doing More with Less, which came out.
I've got about 100 questions, and we only have another a minute to go. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to eliminate most of them, but I just want to make a quick statement and have you follow up on it. A friend of mine, highly educated, no sense in me going into his background. It's actually the brother of a sister who close friends with us. We sat down and had a long talk. He says, "Stu, what do you think the biggest problem in the world is?" And I thought for 5 seconds, and I said, "Oh, it's terrorism." He said, "Wrong. It's corruption." So when I look at companies like Toyota and Enron and others, many, many, many of these companies, Volvo, you can go through and find out the horrific things that they've done. And it's one of the reasons I believe we didn't see massive indictments following the 2000 stock market crash. It would have destroyed the confidence of the American people. What's your view on the statement that I have on corruption?
I think you're right in that I remember going down to Enron and watching those knuckleheads in action before they were found corrupted. Volvo is a pitiful story of how one corrupts governance systems and monitoring emissions in order to lie to the wealthy. And then you got Adelphi, you know. In my bestseller, Doing More with Less, I start out the book as a management consultant.
I hate saying we're out of time.
No problem,
you know, but stay on for a second, Bruce,
okay,
as we come to a conclusion. Hope you enjoyed today's show. I loved it. Bruce Piasecki, New World Companies. Go out and buy a copy. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. This is Stu Taylor.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.